If the last few years have taught us anything, it's that stress and anxiety can cause a lot of harm to us both mentally and physically. Stress contributes to poor sleep, fatigue, and mental fogginess. So how do we prevent or reverse this? Well, Organifi Harmony was created to support women specifically. Harmony combines 12 superfood ingredients into a delicious cacao and chocolate flavored blend that promotes better balanced hormones every day for improved women's health. I have started drinking Organifi Harmony almost every single morning instead of coffee. I just add a scoop to hot almond milk, stir with a spoon, and I know I'm giving my body the good fuel that it needs. Organifi is a line of organic superfood blends that offers plant-based nutrition and high-quality ingredients and less than 3 grams of sugar, helping you move from a depleted to nourished state. You can enjoy any time of the day for more energy, nutrition, hormone balance, and peace of mind. It's a great way to jumpstart your morning, energize your afternoon, or nourish your evening. And the best part is that you can experience Organifi's high-quality superfoods without breaking the bank, with a price that works out to less than $3 a day. Head over to www.organifi.com/bestofyou and use code bestofyou for 20% off your entire order. That's www.organifi.com/bestofyou. Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Allison, and I'm so glad you're here to discover what brings out the best of you. This podcast is all about breaking free from painful patterns, mending the past, and discovering our true selves in God. I can't wait to get started as we learn together how to become the best version of who we are with God's help. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Best of You podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I am so excited about this episode today to just dive in to one of my favorite topics. It's a topic I have been immersed in this past year, really these past several years. It's a topic I've struggled with personally. It's how to navigate these complicated, conflicting emotions that we all have inside. So often these emotions that we have are in tension with each other. They collide with one another. Those situations where you love someone and you're also really angry with that same person, where you love God, but you're also really frustrated with how far away God feels or how distant God feels. Maybe you love your kids and you feel protective of your kids, and you also know that you need to show some restraint. There's so much inner tension that happens inside of us as we go through life. And so this idea of how we begin to untangle the knots of the emotions that live inside of us became the topic of my brand new book. It's called I Shouldn't Feel This Way, and it's coming out May 7th. In this book, I took everything at my disposal from these last few years to put together a framework, a map through the inner conflict that we all face, the emotional complexity inside of all of us. I believe that our inability to tend to the noise in our hearts and the inner chaos that so many of us feel is one of the most underaddressed, underdiagnosed, and undernamed threats to the health of ourselves and our relationships, including our relationship with God. And so this book is the third book I've written, and it's the most forward-facing. If you've read Boundaries for Your Soul, my first book with Kimberly Miller, you know it's a deep dive into healing the parts of your soul. It's a therapeutic method that goes deep into unburdening past wounds and recovering and reclaiming every part of who you are. My second book, The Best of You, is really more focused on external relationships. It's about the work of setting boundaries in our relationships and how you have to heal the self in order to forge healthy relationships and healthy boundaries with other people. So this next book, I Shouldn't Feel This Way, is forward moving. Challenges come up every single day, and these challenges stir up complicated feelings inside of us. And if we don't know how to navigate those complicated feelings inside of us, we won't be able to find a way through the challenges we face. This is a framework for every single one of us. It's actually a set of three practices that we all need to be working through every single day. And so I've distilled these three foundational practices and given you numerous examples of how to apply these practices in our everyday lives. I'm so excited for you to get this book in your hands. It was a hard book for me to write, probably the hardest book I've ever written. I write about the process of why it was so hard within the book. It was very meta. The framework I was laying out in the book, I was having to apply to my own complicated feelings while I was writing the book. It stirred up so much of my own inner tensions. And so in today's episode, I'm going to walk you through three of the mantras from the book that are your starting point for this journey. And by mantra, I just mean a phrase or a catchphrase that helps you engage in what I believe is a spiritual practice. This practice of tending to the inner conflict inside of us, the complexity of our emotions. I don't believe it's only in the realm of therapy. I believe it's a spiritual practice. It's part of being human. It's a practice every single one of us needs to have. And the fact that we don't have it, I think, is a big part of why we're dealing with so many of the problems we're dealing with in our world today. And I'm also going to share toward the end of the episode some pretty vulnerable examples from my own life that I've had to work through using this framework this past year. Before we get started, I want to announce to you the pre-order bonus items that you'll get when you pre-order I Shouldn't Feel This Way. When you pre-order a book, it sends signals to publishers and to all of the digital algorithms, to Google, to Amazon, to Instagram, you know, to all the social media algorithms, to all the powers that be out there that are putting things in front of you all the time. When people start pre-ordering a book, it tells those algorithms that there's interest in this topic, that you want to see more of this topic. And so then those algorithms do their job and they put this book in front of more people. It helps get the word out about the book into the hands of people who need these materials. I invest all the profits off of the books I write, off of the podcast ads for this podcast, back into creating more healing resources, because my purpose and my driving mission is to bring affordable, faith-based healing resources to all God's people everywhere. I know they're hard to come by, and it is my mission to get these resources out into the hands of all the people who need them. So that's what drives me. When you pre-order, you'll get the first three chapters of the book. You'll get a guided journal and a tool I like to call the looking tool. I mentioned it in last week's podcast episode, episode 92. It's a way of framing the challenges that you're facing in the context of the larger picture of your life. And you're also going to get information for how to join me for a free live masterclass, where I'm going to help you begin the process of applying these three practices in real time. You can attend it live. You'll also be able to get the recording. So to get those bonus items, all you have to do is pre-order a copy of I Shouldn't Feel This Way. You can get the hardcover version. You can get the audio version. You can get the Kindle version. It doesn't matter. Just purchase your copy anywhere books are sold. You can go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Christian book distributors. You can go to your local bookstore and ask them to order it for you. That's also another way to really help authors, is to request the book from local bookstores. So purchase the book, then you go to my website. The website is ishouldn'tfeelthisway.com. ishouldn'tfeelthisway.com. And just enter in the information that it asks, and you'll automatically get emailed those first three chapters, the guided journal, the looking tool, and the information about how to join the live masterclass. So what is emotional complexity? Well, it refers to the depth and nuances of an individual's emotional experiences. It means that we often encounter conflicting emotions simultaneously. It's a beautiful concept that underscores the richness of our emotional life and the complexity of how God made us. The reality is that emotions are complex. You experience multiple, often conflicting emotions simultaneously. We all do. And in order to become a mature adult with a healthy emotional life, you have to be able to navigate through your own emotions. Now, here is the thing I want you to understand. Complicated emotions are evoked by complicated situations. Something happens outside of you that's hard. Your child comes home from school upset. They've been bullied. It detonates a whole lot of emotions inside of you. Your spouse does something you don't like. It detonates a whole bunch of complicated emotions inside of you. Maybe it's a friend who does something. Maybe a family member does something. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's something you see on the news, right? There's so much going on in our world. You read a news article, you see a post by someone on social media, and it activates a bunch of complicated emotions inside of you. The problem is most of us don't have the tools needed to work our way through those complicated emotions. We don't even have that languaging for it. Oh, wow, what I'm feeling is complicated. There are very few situations that have a one size fits all. And so when we're not taught how to honor and navigate the different competing, sometimes conflicting emotions that come up inside our own heart, soul, and mind, we're left doubting ourselves, feeling ill-equipped, feeling helpless, instead of being empowered to take action into our challenges one brave step at a time. Navigating emotional complexity is crucial for our own mental health, and it's crucial for the health of our relationships and for the world around us. Research tells us when we understand how to navigate our own emotions, we cope better with stress. It enhances emotional regulation. We gain psychological maturity and resilience. We have healthier, richer interpersonal relationships. People with a greater understanding of the complexity of their emotions are better equipped to navigate the complexities of this life. They can process and respond to challenging situations more effectively. One of the biggest problems contributing to so many of the relational problems, the public betrayals, the anxiety pandemic, the broken relationships, the low self-esteem, all of these things that we're seeing in our culture today is because we don't know how to navigate our own minds, our own hearts, our own souls, our own inner tensions. The more you learn to let the light of God's truth and God's love shine on the inside of your soul, the more equipped you are to let that same light shine into and light up the circumstances around you. When we're not able to navigate our own inner turmoil, our own inner complexity, how in the world can we navigate the complicated challenges in the world around us or help our loved ones navigate their complicated challenges? Research shows that on any given day, we process about 11 million bits of information per second, anywhere from 6,000 to 70,000 thoughts per second. And we experience emotions during at least 90% of our day, often several simultaneously. This is that emotional complexity that we're talking about. And the amount of information we're processing is increasing exponentially in this digital age with the advent of social media and the internet and just so much coming at us all the time. We live in a culture that does not teach us how to navigate complexity. It oversimplifies it. It sends us memes about just thinking positively or validating every feeling that you have. And these simplistic formulas aren't helpful. But sometimes our faith communities also give us simplistic formulas, or they don't really talk to us much about emotions at all. But even our experience of faith is complex. We have complicated feelings about God. This is normal. But we don't often identify that this is normal, let alone talk about how to navigate the complicated feelings that we have. And so what most of us do is we go on autopilot. We process all of this information outside of our conscious awareness. We react to things subconsciously. And what that means is our responses to what's happening around us are driven by thoughts and feelings and beliefs that we hold that we're not consciously aware of. These feelings and these beliefs might be rooted in pain from the past. They might be rooted in unhelpful messages from the past. They might be rooted in patterns of behavior that aren't actually helpful to us anymore. And we're not aware of it because we're just on autopilot. And sometimes I use the metaphor, it's as if your mind is like a self-driving car and that car's been programmed and you're just sitting back and letting the car drive. And you're trusting that the car is going the right way, that it knows what to do when it hits a chaotic intersection. You're just trusting that the system has been programmed directly. But the problem is, what if it's not? What if that autopilot that our brain is on has been programmed by past traumas? What if it's been programmed by unhelpful advice that someone gave us years ago? What if it's been programmed to respond to situations in extremely simplistic ways that don't actually account for the nuances of the situation? And so you assume that you're heading in the right direction and it doesn't work. And you might even be noticing some inner tension. I don't know if I should be trusting this car to be driving me through this crazy intersection, but I don't know what else to do. And because we don't know what else to do, we don't know how to come out of autopilot, we just work harder to shut that inner turmoil, that cue inside of us that something might actually need our attention. We just work harder to shut that noise down. So many of us are on autopilot. We're just reacting so quickly to everything that's coming at us. We're moving so fast. We're driving through intersections without stopping to get out of the car, to enter into some of that chaos that we're feeling inside that's important, that needs our attention before we do something foolish or head down a road we have no business being on. The stakes are really high. What so often happens when we do notice some of that inner tension or some of those emotions that we don't want to feel is that we've learned to just shut them down. We end up sabotaging ourselves. We don't know what to do, so we default to the programming, and then we just kind of keep doing what we've always done. We try to numb those emotions. We just try to shut them down with eating or scrolling or binge watching or jumping into other people's problems, or we guilt trip ourselves. We just try to guilt message ourselves out of feeling the way we really feel. We gaslight ourselves. We try to tell ourselves we shouldn't really feel the way that we feel. We have all these sort of strategies for keeping those emotions down outside of our conscious awareness. And that's where the title of this book came from, as I realized this is my story. I have a pretty good intuitive radar for picking up on things that are going on around me that aren't really aligned with the truth or that kind of don't sit right with me, but it's also uncomfortable for me. And so for a long time, I would just tell myself, you shouldn't feel that way. Just shut it down. That's not your business. Just let it go. And it's taken me years to notice that sometimes the very first emotion that I have to identify and name is that feeling of I shouldn't feel this way. That I shouldn't feel this way is often a cue that I do feel this way and I need to slow down. I need to pay attention. I don't know exactly why I'm feeling what I'm feeling, but I do feel this way. And trying to guilt trip or gaslight myself out of it doesn't help. When we don't honor the complicated mix of doubts, fears, and real questions that we have inside, we doubt ourselves and we doubt other people. We silently battle ourselves and we silently battle against other people. We deprive ourselves for the opportunity to get real wisdom and real clarity in partnership with God's Spirit. And so instead of working our way through the inner turmoil, through the inner confusion that I don't know what I think about this, we tend to move down the path of least resistance. We do things the way we've always done them. We risk jeopardizing our own health and the health of our relationships. We don't address the real needs all around us, and we don't bring the full power of our God-given design, our thinking brain, our nervous system, and all the resources God has given us to sift through the challenges in our lives. If you can spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away, and maybe you're someone who reads labels like nobody's business, I think that is so wise. There are so many false promises and pseudo solutions out there in our world today. It's healthy in many ways to be skeptical of what you hear and read. And Ritual knows that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. I love their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin. It is the highest quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. And what I love most about the Ritual Women 18 Plus multivitamin is that it's easy on my stomach. I take two each morning and there's no issue on an empty stomach, which is unusual for me. Plus, there's this minty fresh essence that you get when you take it. It's such an enjoyable experience. It makes me want to take my vitamins. And I know I'm getting the ingredients actually listed on the label because Rituals Essential for Women is USP verified. Only about 1% of supplement brands have the USP verified mark. No more shady business. Rituals Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/bestofyou. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/bestofyou for 25% off. Our dogs love Sundays. I'm not kidding. One of our dogs was the slowest eater on earth for the first several years of her life. It was painful how long it would take her to eat. The minute we introduced her to Sundays, she just laps it up. She loves it. Sundays is healthy dog food that's easy to store and serve. Most foods are one or the other, but Sundays is both. It's fresh dog food made from a short list of human-grade ingredients that contains 90% meat, 10% superfoods, and 0% synthetic nutrients. But unlike other fresh dog food, it doesn't require refrigeration or preparation. It's air-dried, so you simply pour and serve. It's so easy. Get 40% off your first order of Sundays. Go to sundaysfordogs.com/bestofyou or use code bestofyou at checkout. When I was a kid, we had a map on the wall in our basement. It was a map of Narnia based on the Narnia Chronicles by C.S. Lewis, which many of you have read. I loved those books as a kid, and I would just stare at the map and just kind of imagine myself at different points on the map. You know, sometimes I would imagine what it might feel like to have come through that wardrobe and be in that scary forest. I don't know where I am. I don't even know where I'm supposed to go. This is weird. This is confusing. This is disorienting. And then I'd kind of imagine myself over in the witch's castle to the north, where it was kind of almost sinister and maybe even a feeling of evil and the icy cold of what that must have felt like. And how do I get out of here? How do I get away from that? I have a feeling about that. This doesn't feel good to me. I don't think I should be here, but how do I get out of here? And can I trust how I'm feeling? And then there are places on the map where it shows Aslan's land. And I would just imagine that feeling of sunshine on my face in Aslan's land, the green grass, the feeling of freedom, the feeling of clarity, the feeling of, oh, this is where I want to be. This feels good. This doesn't feel complicated. This feels beautiful, right? And how do I get here? How do I get from the forest or out of the evil or out of the toxicity and into Aslan's land? And I would imagine myself at all those different places. And that's what I wanted to do for you in I Shouldn't Feel This Way, is begin to map out some of the different places, the different landmines, some of the things that are hard that you're facing. And also with the idea that we can get to a better place, but it's a journey. We've got to go through some of these hard seasons in order to get to where we want to be. We first have to name what's hard about where we are. Now, this is not a formula. This is not a, you do these three things and you'll be all set. That is not what this is. This is a map that gives you guideposts so that you can navigate your way through the forest. It doesn't take you out of the forest of the challenges that you face. You're going to have to do the work of finding your way through the forest. I can't come and rescue you out of it. No one can. And if someone is promising you that they can just pluck you out of the challenges that you face, I would be skeptical about that. You've got to walk through those challenges. But this book gives you a guide, a framework, so that you don't get lost, so that you're not alone, and so that you have some touchstones, some mile markers to keep you on track. So there are three sort of guideposts I want to introduce to you today, because these are three things we're going to come back to time and time again over the coming weeks and months. The first one is I shouldn't feel this way. I've been using this mantra over and over this last year. My husband and I now use it. This is my I shouldn't feel this way moment. That moment of recognition of, oh my gosh, I'm beating myself up for feeling something I actually do feel. It's something I need to face. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to feel activated after spending time with this person. I don't like feeling that way. I don't want to feel angry at this person that I love. I don't want to feel this way about God. I don't want to feel this way about my body, but I do. I do feel this way. So your "I shouldn't feel this way" moment is a recognition of the feeling you wish you didn't feel. I don't like feeling angry about my loved one. It's scary. I don't like it. I don't like that I feel activated by this person, that they don't seem trustworthy. I don't want to feel that way. I don't like that I feel like numbing with food all the time. I don't like that I feel conflicted about God, that I'm checking out at church or checking out during my prayer times. I don't like that I'm feeling stuck in my head and confused and unable to get out of it. I don't like that I feel this way about other people, but I do feel this way. This is your moment of making what's subconscious, of something you're trying to keep out of your conscious awareness, you're trying to shove it aside and bringing it into your conscious awareness. I do feel this way. I wish I didn't, but I do. And you're stopping the guilt tripping, the gaslighting part of you, all the ways that you try to shove that aside, and you bring that uncomfortable feeling into your conscious awareness. I've got to stop. I've got to take a look at it. I've got to do some work around it because this is the way I actually feel. I don't want to do something foolish, and this feeling is here for a reason. I've got to figure it out. Something doesn't feel right. I'm confused. I'm having a reaction to a situation. I wish I didn't, but I am. And I need to do something about it. Now listen, so often, part of the reason we don't want to stop when we're feeling things we wish we didn't feel is because it's confusing. We don't want to face the very thing that's confusing us. And that leads to mantra number two. I'm at a crossroads. Crossroads are inherently confusing. There's a bunch of different directions, a bunch of different paths you can take at a crossroads. It's disorienting when you don't know which way to go. It's confusing, and it's hard to stop when you already feel activated. It's so tempting to just kind of put your foot on the gas pedal, close your eyes, and just hope that you choose the right path, right? It's just hoping to get lucky. Maybe I'll just get lucky. Just go for it, right? It's hard to stop when you're already confused. But that crossroads, oh my gosh, that crossroads is not a bad place to be. It's a place to stop. It's a place to put your car in park and get out and look around and invite God into the disorientation. And that's where this whole "I shouldn't feel this way" process starts. It starts when you stop. I do feel this way. I don't know what to do about it yet. I don't know which path to take, but I can stop here at the crossroads. I've got to stop. I can set up camp for just a minute at the crossroads. And I can learn to pay attention to what's going on inside of me so I'll have a fighting chance of getting back in my car when it's time to drive forward and taking the right path. And you start to learn how to build yourself what I call a place in between. I love these places in between where you learn to stop and set up a little house for yourself, a little place in between where you do the work of looking inside, of reflecting, of tending to your own emotions so that when it's time, you're ready to find the right path. And step three, the very first thing you're going to do when you stop, when you set up camp at the crossroads, is you start to name what's hard. What's hard? What do I feel? What am I seeing that I wish I didn't, but I do? I'm frustrated. I'm scared. I feel alone. I'm not entirely ungrateful. Some things are okay. A lot of me is confused. I'm not sure what to do. I don't like feeling this way, but I do. I do feel this way. I do feel scared. I do feel uncomfortable. I do feel unsure. And the first thing that I can do at this crossroads is to stop and name what's hard about what I feel. I'm always looking for ways to make drinking water easier so I don't even have to think about it. We know how good water is for our bodies. That's why you've got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, and they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. What I love about AquaTrue is that one set of filters from their classic purifier makes about 4,500 bottles of water. That's less than 3 cents a bottle. Plus, you save the environment from tons of plastic waste, and it's super easy to set up and install. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. Today, my listeners receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter code BESTOFYOU at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use promo code BESTOFYOU. A recent survey found that 7 in 10 parents get an average of just 3 hours of sleep a night in their baby's first year. Moms, you deserve to have quality sleep, and I know one thing that will help. It's Cozy Earth. You can discover the secret to better sleep with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products, and here's an exclusive Mother's Day offer just for our listeners. Use code BESTOFYOU for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. The best part is Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products. Enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. They're built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights. Treat yourself to ultimate comfort with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear and prioritize your self-care and sleep health. Head over to CozyEarth.com and use promo code BESTOFYOU for an exclusive 35% off. The luxury she deserves. Cozy Earth. As we close, I want to give you some examples of these moments from my own life and how I've applied them to situations in my own life. The first one that I noticed almost exactly a year ago, I turned 50 last February, and I had a huge, I shouldn't feel this way moment. I hated turning 50. I hated it. I've never had that experience at a milestone birthday. I didn't have it at 30. I didn't have it at 40. 50 was so hard for me. And it came out of nowhere, just an avalanche of uncomfortable, unpleasant, hard emotions. And I didn't like feeling that way. I thought I should feel empowered. I thought I should feel free. I saw other people posting about how 50 is their best life and how they're feeling all empowered and all great about this next chapter of their life. I didn't feel any of that. It came out of nowhere. I didn't feel at the top of my game. I felt a complicated mixture of feelings. And I didn't want to feel that way about aging. I didn't want to feel shame. I didn't want to feel the way I felt about the lines that seemed to pop out of nowhere on my face. I didn't want to feel the way I felt about my body, but I did. I did feel that way. And I had to stop and face those feelings in order to understand myself in a more compassionate way. I couldn't beat myself up for feeling those feelings. Now, in hindsight, I understand it a lot better. In some ways, there was some catching up to myself that I hadn't done because I'd been so absorbed in helping other people through hard things. And so I'm at a much better place now. You know, I turned 51 in February and I was aware. I was like, okay, I've done the work. I entered into the crossroads. I faced what was hard and I'm finding myself in a better place. But I didn't get there through exiling those emotions, through beating myself up, through pretending like I didn't feel the complicated set of things I actually did feel. Another thing I'm feeling right now, I'm feeling a lot of complicated feelings about showing up more on social media. I've been offline for the most part. This last year, I show up every once in a while. I post weekly about the podcast. I'm just not on social media very much. I've noticed about myself this last year. I tend to be a pretty private person. I'm a pretty private person with a public platform. And so it's hard for me to navigate the public part of this work that I do. And yet I care about this work. I believe in this book and I want to share about it. And that means I have to show up on social media. And yet I have complicated feelings about social media. So many of us have complicated feelings about social media. So I'm trying to figure out how to navigate that. And so I'm just starting by naming it. This is hard for me. I have complicated feelings about it. I'm a private person who has a public platform. That's complicated for me. And so I have to figure out how to navigate that. There's another one that comes up for me about my work. I have complicated feelings about traveling to speak. I turn down so many requests for speaking. I feel bad about that. Part of it is just my own values of being a pretty private person and living a simple life. I don't travel a lot for the purpose of my work. I also donate a lot of the work I do to organizations that are serving the underserved, those who don't have access to a lot of tools. That's a huge part of my core values, is whatever work I do, speaking or putting on workshops, is to do most of it for organizations that are serving people who don't have access to resources, who are coming out of homelessness, who are dealing with addictions, who don't have the ability to get these resources. And so because I have that value, it means I can't do as much traveling to speak in other types of venues. And so again, that's complicated for me. I've had to make hard decisions, but I feel like I've made wiser decisions when I honored the reality of the complicated feelings I have inside. I would love to join large gatherings of women. I would love to come to some of your churches. I would love to be able to travel more and meet so many more of you in person. And I also value being really attentive to and close to my family, the people in my day-to-day life. And I also really value the work that I do for some of these nonprofit organizations. And so it means I have to make hard decisions. But when I name what's hard about those decisions and I sift through the noise of the complicated feelings I have, I'm able to arrive at better decisions. And that brings me to you. What are some things you have complicated feelings about? What are some of your I shouldn't feel this way moments? You might have complicated feelings about a job that you need, but also hate. Maybe there are people at your job that you like, that have given you a chance, that have invested in you, but there are also things about your job that are really hard, that are really sometimes even harmful to you. And it's complicated. It's not just so simple as I should leave. Way. You might have complicated feelings about a spouse, about a romantic partner. Maybe you love your spouse and sometimes your relationship is hard for you. And it's tricky to talk about that because people want to force you into a quick fix solution. Maybe they think you should just leave when you're not ready to leave. It's not that simple. Or maybe they just think you should stay and not complain about it. And it's also not that simple. It's nuanced. It's not simple. And you need a way to honor the complexity of all that you feel so that you can find a way through the complicated situation. Health is another one. So many people I know, including myself, are dealing with complicated feelings about their health. Sometimes for me, what I will say to my doctor after really thinking hard about a lot of the challenges I face is, I'm one of the healthiest unhealthy people you'll ever meet. And that simple statement has come after years of recognizing I am so healthy in so many ways, and yet I also battle some really complicated health conditions. And I know so many of you are in that same boat where it's not a simple thing. You're healthy. On one hand, you can do a lot of things. And on the other hand, you're dealing with some really complicated health challenges. You might have complicated feelings about God. You love God on one hand. You have faith on one end. And sometimes you don't trust God. You are disappointed in God. Maybe you're confused about where to go to church or about how to pray or about how to talk to God or about what it should look like to follow God. And you're conflicted, and that's normal and that makes sense, but you can't find other people to help you honor the reality of that complexity. People around you are telling you, you shouldn't feel that way. You should just trust God, right? You should just go to church, pray, worship, and all those feelings will go away. but they don't. You feel confused and you feel lonely. And then on the other side, people are saying to you, yeah, that's why you should just leave church altogether. You should just ditch your faith. That's what people are saying on the other side. And that's not it either. That's not what you want. You want to fight for your faith. You love God. Neither of those extremes is helpful to you. It's complicated. And that's your cue to stop and pay attention and honor that it's okay to feel the different things that you feel. It's normal. And together, we can find a better way through it. Here's the thing about I shouldn't feel this way. It's saying, yes, this is complicated. These simplistic formulas do not cut it. They will not help you through it. But there is a way to untangle the knots, to honor the complexity, and to find a better way through it. That's why I wrote this book. I wrote this book to give you a guide, and together we're going to find our way through inner conflict and into braver, healthier, wiser solutions. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode of The Best of You. It would mean so much if you take a moment to subscribe. You can go to Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts and click the plus or follow button. That will ensure you don't miss an episode and it helps get the word out to others. While you're there, I'd love it if you leave your 5-star review. I look forward to seeing you back here next Thursday. And remember, as you become the best of who you are, you honor God, you heal others, and you stay true to your God-given self.